Close enough.
Trying to grandstand.
All right, good morning. I will call to order the regular scheduled Board of Supervisors meeting for this Tuesday, August 30th, 2016, and ask that everybody please join the board as we honor America with the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Well, thank you again and good morning. First item on our agenda, as always, is public comment number one. This is an opportunity for members of the public to address the board on topics on today's agenda. Is there anybody wishing to do so? Seeing no one moving to the microphone. Board, you weren't moving, were you? First item on our agenda is discussion of changing 250th Street to a hard surface road between 11th Street and S-14. And we've got Jim Prevert and Al Kochler here. But Marty, I know you visited with them. How about if you take this one?
Here in Nevada, we've had a preponderance of things that have been in our favor historically. We are the county seat. We have a very strong agricultural community. We have a vibrant school district. And we have had the success of individuals, as you see, assembling here at the front table to do things on behalf of the community. And today, one of the things that we have found as we have had success come to us in both industry and opportunity is the fact that on a housing project, we have been basically left to the vagaries and whims of outside developers. And we have the good fortune today to have some local gentlemen that are stepping up to the plate and asking that we help them participate in bringing to pass something in the lower side of Nevada just right into the county. And I think they have the ability to speak very knowledgeably to this. So I welcome Jim Prevert and Al Kochler to talk to us today and look forward to hearing what they have to tell us. Thank you.
Hey, boy, I tell you what, that's quite an intro. I don't know if you guys can live up to that.
Not really.
We'll try our best.
Oh, Wayne.
No, you each have one.
You each have one.
The square in front of you is also a light man just called.
Don't be scared of it, huh?
We're high tech here, Jim.
That's pretty close. Well, we appreciate the chance to visit with you this morning. We kind of jumped into something that we're very excited about, and we think that Nevada and this community needs. There's been a shortage of housing. I get around to a lot of the other communities, and it just amazes me how new houses are being built around, and yet you don't see much here in Nevada in recent times. And it's mainly because we're kind of landlocked and we don't have many places to go. And my wife and I have been kind of watching this Hanson property right here on the south side of 11th Street for a while, and she always said, boy, that'd be a nice place to put a townhouse back there. And so I was visiting with Al here earlier this spring, and I'd heard that Ivan had passed away at Hanson, and so that it might be available. So we proceeded from there, and we have got it purchased. Haven't closed on it yet, but we've got it purchased. So anyway, we think this is really going to be a great move for Nevada and for this whole community and county. There's a great opportunity. I think Al has given you some maps here. It shows the photo map. It shows the quarter section. That's just what we're buying. It's 40 acres. And the road. Okay. And that's... Yeah.
Okay.
Go ahead.
And I handed out three pieces of paper there showing the 40 acres. I'm also involved in a little project just about approximately 600 feet to the north of that on the west side, of which is we're developing 12 lots. And we expect to dig dirt here next week on that because it's been through the planning and zoning and the city and so forth. So we're just about finished with the project on the city. So that's going to add 12 lots. To the west side of South 11th Street. So, and if we finish this, if we're able to finish this project, and I also handed out our proposal, this is about our fourth drawing, and you see that it is a draft. It may be tweaked a little bit, and we're in the process right now of trying to get this annexed to the city. We had the first, the city council was aware of this last Monday night, so we're in the process of getting this annexed to the city. The reason we do not want to keep this in the county is because I or Jim do not feel that it is in the best interest of our ecology to have another 30 or 40 septic systems sitting out there on 40 acres of land, which is going to seep eventually somewhere into one of our riverbeds and so forth. And so that is the reason why we want to have this annexed to the city. It has nothing against the county, but we want to have the water and the sewer system connected to a qualified source of recovery. And so so if we get this finished, basically from Highway 30 to the country club on the west side, will basically be all housing. All housing.
All the way down.
And so consequently, I personally live right next to 250th Street, and the only thing I will drive on that road is my tractors. Okay? I refuse to drive. I grew up on gravel roads on a farm up in northern Iowa, and every time we drove a car on it, you had to wash the car afterwards, and there were buckets of rust after 5 or 6 years and so forth. So this, I think, is also probably a safety issue. It gives another access that people will not have to, if they want to go south. I personally will travel up 11th Street, west on South G, and get on 30th Street. I'll go 5 miles out of my way so I can avoid driving on that 250th Street. I drive hybrid cars, which I was told to stay off of because of dust. And so I consequently have done that for the last 6 years. But the main purpose of this is I think it's in the best interest of best interest in not only our economy, but in safety and so forth. I also am on the board of, was the past president of the Nevada Economic Development Commission for the past 2 years. And we have brought some industry into town, and we will continue to bring industry into town. I've been on several housing committees, and basically one of the primary concerns is we have no place for some people who want to build some high-end homes, that we have no place to put those homes, and so consequently we lose them to Ames, we lose them to Gilbert, we lose them to Huxley, and so forth. So this is our chance of trying to save and not only bring property tax base. Right now we will be converting this 40 acres of land, which brings in approximately $1,000 per year in tax base. If this goes through, there will be approximately, by my methods of calculation, will be bringing in over $500,000 worth of tax base per year. And if you look at your property tax statement, approximately 53% of those taxes, property taxes, come back to the county. Okay? So this also relates to an easy access getting. I'm also on the focus board of the our 6th Street project, Highway 30 project. Been before the city council how many times, as some of you well may know. Have a private meeting with Governor Branstad, had a telephone conference with Governor Grassley, have met with the Department of DOT Director, Paul Trambino, have had several meetings with the leading engineer with the DOT, and so forth. So I believe that we have got a proposal pretty much set. We meet again on the 27th of September. That is going to be at the City Hall. Not at City Hall, it's going to be out of Gates Hall, because the community is invited to review that process again. I hope everyone attends that. Basically, 6th Street on that proposal may or may not be closed. There will be a loop coming over S-14, of which there will be two loops that you can get back onto 6th Street. We may have to drive about 600 feet more to the west, but if everything goes through, we'll be able to come across Highway 30, go on to 6th Street. Anybody coming on and off will be two loops there. It will be in the city, and the DOT already owns that property. According to our project, Airport Road, the intersection will be closed at Airport Road. There will be a new intersection at 600th Street, the street between Betters and Van Wall, and there will also be an interchange over by Brecky's Corner.
The 600 is not Betters and Van Wall. 600 is a mile west.
Right. It's in the center. That's the road that the farmers use to take their grain.
And we got it in the calendar to pay. This year, Darren, you're still planning on this spring? I know you're still in the middle of right away. Just give me a thumbs up. Next spring.
Right. So if all this plays focus, and also in this program, in the proposed site, There is a frontage road that we're proposing. When this gets completed, this could be 10 years from now, but there's a frontage road that we're proposing from Airport Road all the way over to Brecky's Road on the north side and on the south side. So if we can get this paved here, and people that live out of town working in Ames and so forth, some people may not even have to cross up on S-14 on the usual direction. They can come south and they can go west. This is all paved road. They can get on Maple Avenue and continue west on Maple Avenue, and there will be a whole... I tell you what, if there's an accident after, if this is proposed, if there's an accident on Highway 30, it is caused to stupidity. Okay? Stupidity. And there's one thing we all know, you can't take care, you can't eliminate stupidity. Okay? So, or animals. But as far as having accidents on that road, it should be accident-free if the proposals go through that we have got there. Three of us have fought very hard on that project. But that's getting away from this little project right here. We feel that probably half of the people that will locate in this 66 lots here that we have proposed probably will not be working in Nevada. They will be working in another town. It could be Ames, could be Des Moines. And I feel that these people will be using this access. They will not get on Highway 30. They could probably go on this 250th Street, head south in S-14, and get on 210 and get on Highway 35 going south. So it eliminated a bunch of congestion on Highway 30, which is right now. I don't know how many of you have driven on that thing at between 7 and 7:30 in the morning. I mean, it's full. Okay? And so this little project right here could eliminate, I'm not going to give any percentages, but it could eliminate quite a percentage of the cars traveling on Highway 30 in the morning. So we feel that as far as a property tax base, it's going to greatly improve the property tax base. We'll have this could also help the influx of patients going into Story County Medical Hospital, because it's only going to be a mile away, less than a mile away. And I think 250th Street should have been paved 10 years ago when you put the bridge in. Probably cost half the cost. You put the bridge in to do, the bridge was put in to have that road paved. Now, Jim is going to bring up a comment that Fred McKeeson said when he was on the Board of Supervisors, and I'll let him continue.
I just go back to the old day, long time ago, and Fred was on the board, and of course he was a member at the country club, and everybody was saying, boy, you need to get that road paved. And of course he just couldn't do that, you know. He said, that's just for you guys at the country club, but it's not that way anymore. You've got so many people living out there right now, and there's other additions, and like Al said, that whole area is getting filled in all the way south now. And we just want to see Nevada continue to grow. And that's basically, at my age, I don't need this kind of activity, but I'm enjoying it. And we need to get this through as far as, and get some more houses for Nevada, because it really is needed.
Yeah, so I'll start with, first of all, I'm really appreciative of you guys being here today. I'm appreciative, so there's no question that there is a housing shortage in Story County. And if you look at some of the things that are happening in economic development, not only in Nevada, but Ames, who is a major driver of economic development, with the research park and the expected increase in employment there, if anything goes with the proposed annexation from 590th West into Ames, we're going to see a lot more jobs come into Story County. And our issue right now is fully 28% of the people who work out at the research park choose not to live in Story County. Now, there's a multitude of reasons for that, but we need to see about cutting into that number some and making sure that we're keeping more people that work in Story County living in Story County. It's amazing to me that a county this size, we have net commuters coming in rather than commuters going out. But that's where we are right now. So I'm really appreciative of you guys having a plan. I think it's completely appropriate for you guys to be in front of the board starting the conversation about 250. And in fact, Darren, I think it was 3 years ago, maybe 4 years ago, that we had leaders from Gilbert come and have the same conversation as far as 530 at Grant Gretton, whatever you want to call it, Hyde. I think it's getting ready to get renamed part of it to Hyde. But we had that conversation, and it, in fact, made it onto our five-year calendar, which is how we operate here at the county, right? We have the five-year Rose calendar. Things make it onto it and work its way through. And, in fact, we're paving that mile-and-a-half stretch between Ames and Gilbert. So I think this is a great conversation for us to have. I think with the medical center over there to the east and some of the projects that you're talking about out here, I think this area is ripe for development. Either, I prefer clearly within Story County, but within Nevada or out in the county. And I appreciate your concern on septic systems. I'll tell you, there's some cool advancements with septic systems that are starting to be used in Story County, where it's a little less negative environmental impact to use some of these things. And so I hope we'll continue to look at that. But I think this is a great conversation to have. Wayne and Mark.
Let me begin. First of all, again, thank you. And thank you again for your comments in regard to this. Obviously, this is an exciting project that you all have brought to us at this time. And I'm very appreciative when I look out in the audience and see a good friend, you know, LaVon Schultz from NEDC, and I know how active she's been in trying to bring appropriate industry and business into the community to add to the overall vitality and tax base of the community. As Rick has already alluded to, and I think Jim probably alluded to as well, as the housing situation began to shift more south in that particular area, the type of housing that I like to use the term maybe millennials or young professionals and so forth are more likely to look for, you know, tends to be a little bit on a little more upscale in terms of development. I have a couple of questions before, and I do think that, again, this is what's good about this is you're starting here early on with us. If I remember, and correct me if I'm wrong, Rick, Leanne probably could attest to this, that the Gilbert discussion and so forth was an afterthought after they had built a school already in the area, that they kind of came to us and said, oh, by the way, you know, we need to have this road paved and so forth. Now, I don't know where this project all fits in, but be thinking about also that it's not uncommon for if the county would be kicking in something here, that the developer or the potential landowners, whatever, that there is some type of shared expense. Whether that's going to happen or not, you know, it's just it should be part of a discussion as we move forward, just like we did right out here with the paving to Country Club area with the city of Nevada. I just sweetened the pie a little bit as we talk about that. But now my question is timetable. If this would go forward in your vision, even though we say we would need to put this on our five-year plan, to build it all out with these 66 lots, what type of timetable do you envision that this would take?
We figure on, we was hoping to be able to dig, start digging dirt this fall, but I don't think that'll happen. It'll be next spring.
Next spring. Yep. Okay. And yet you still have to go before the city council here in Nevada.
Yeah, we've already started the process. Our biggest problem right now is buying the property, buying the water rights from Central Iowa Water Association. I could use some words for that organization, but I would not like to use those here.
That's not your negotiation either, Al.
No.
Well, now, this next question, and I want you to take it in the spirit in which it's given. So it's a history lesson. I thought it was interesting for me personally to hear the reference that this is going to be a 40-acre plot. And so guess what the first thought that came to my mind? Where's the mule?
Where's the what?
Where's the mule?
40 acres
and a mule. So if you go back in history, in African American history.
That's before my time.
What do you mean, Jim? I've been president before your time. Closer. But anyway, all pun intended. I'm excited to hear about this. Obviously, you would know the process of working with our planning and zoning director, also working with the city, depending upon, you know, how this thing all flows through. Darren, it's so nice to have you here as well, because, again, we want to make sure that all the players are aware of what is being proposed here. So early on, we can help guide you through the process to the best of our ability from this end. I can't promise you for sure that within the next 5 years that it would be paved, but I can tell you that I'm excited about the prospects of the of what you're being proposed right here, and I think it would be a great addition to the community of Nevada. And like Ricky, it would be nice to stay in the county. But, you know, that doesn't always happen with annexation, and particularly trying to get infrastructure to a particular area. So, Marty?
On behalf of the Nevada community, thank you. On behalf of the Historic Board of Supervisors, thank you. I guess anecdotally, Jim, you told your Fred Matthiessen story. I'm on the cap with the DuPont people, and you sit down and go to meals from time to time. They give you a little bit of update on where the plant's at. And I've had two different meetings that were very striking. The fact is they try to pair you up with the DuPont staff. And in talking to them as they come into the communities to start their careers here, you ask them, they ask you their your stories, and you in turn ask them theirs. And I have been struck at two different times that I have sat down with people on both sides of me that sat there and said, as we will be working in Nevada, we don't have the ability to live in Nevada for the fact that as they explore where they could have to build to be close to their jobs, they didn't find anything. So I think this, you know, speaks to that in a very profound way, and I'm glad to see that you guys are going to find yourself at this point in your lives to do. I was, because I had gone to the Nevada, we had canceled out the Nevada School Board meeting, so I had the opportunity to go to the Nevada City Council meeting, and this was on the agenda, so it piqued my interest tremendously, and I'm glad to see that I had that opportunity. So going forward, I turn to Jerry Dixon in Planning and Development and Darren Moon in regards to what it would take or where
Jerry
how
Moore,
they,
do you mean?
Excuse me?
Do you mean Jerry Dixon or Jerry Moore?
Jerry Moore. I'm sorry.
That's right. Well, he looks a little bit like that Nixon guy.
Well, I'm sorry. Oh, yeah, thank you. But I was just, you know, I was curious as I sat up here for, you know, not that long, because I'm sitting here looking at where you are in the planning phase on what you have doing and what you propose to do. And I would ask that just on an information basis, maybe they can give you a bit of an insight as the way what they do in regards to bringing stuff to being, because it's a costing thing and it's a planning thing. And I would ask them if at any at this time, if they wanted to convey to this audience and to these two gentlemen what you told me. Go ahead, Jerry. Go ahead.
You come up. If you're going to speak, Jerry or Darren, come up to the microphone. And if you don't want to, that's fine. We can lay it out pretty simply here. Al and Jim, what happens from here is the board may, if it chooses, refer this to our county engineer, Darren Moon, to take a look at and study. Every year by April 15th, we are required by code to put out our five-year calendar. Now, just because it's a five-year calendar doesn't mean that everything enters 5 years out. It can enter 3 years out. It can enter anywhere along the calendar. Our problem with this road, I think what Darren is going to tell us here in just a minute, is it's only eligible for local funding, so we're not able to access some of the farm-to-market funding and some of the other funding we have, and that gets a little problematic trying to figure out how you do that. Jerry, I would imagine your role in this is to try to determine how the rest. I know we've got a couple requests out in the area for potential small one-off developments. How paving this would impact it? With that, I'll leave it to you guys to address whatever you want to address.
Yeah, you stole most of my thunder there.
What I do?
Every year we meet about March time frame, discuss the five-year program, and I give you a listing of the roads, and then. And roads in particular, there's always an additional 10 projects on there at least that are wishes, because a five-year program has to be fundable. So we can't put those in the program until we know how they're going to be funded. And Southwest has been on that list for quite a while. So we know it's an issue. Right now, we just got new traffic counts from the DOT. It hasn't changed a lot in 10 years. It shows 220 vehicles a day. I have no doubt that a development anywhere close to that on 11th would add traffic to this road, and we've discussed this road in particular with the Highway 30 interchange plans, how all those options would have impacted Southwest, and there's some that would impact it more than others. So it's definitely been on our radar again the past year or two. But, yeah, that's the most difficult thing. It's a locally classified road. The funding, a million-dollar project like that, we just don't have a million-dollar local fund budget for projects. It'd be nice if we did. I'd love to pave it, but funding's going to be difficult to find.
Yeah, so we would need to be creative, but it's appropriate for the board to ask you to take a hard look at it as we come around to March and start talking about what our five-year calendar looks like. Jerry?
Well, we just went through the C2C comp plan process. The plan was approved in June. There are elements in that comp plan that talk about coming up with ways to look at opportunities to allow for rural type developments, you know, 3 to 5 lots. Some of that would likely involve rezoning, but for this area that we're talking about, there already is like an R1 district, which allows for like a quarter size lot. And just looking at 250, the eastern portion of that, I think it's about half mile. You've got some land that's not primary agricultural row crop ground that would be conducive to potential for future development. But again, the western end tends to be more primary farm ground, which there's also interest in the plan of, you know, preserving the farm ground. So we've got the way both of those, you know, the development side versus preservation side. So, but there are some possibilities to look at some future growth for rural type developments in this area.
Okay.
Right. And I think that's extremely important for them to hear at this time as the discussion moves forward, so that all those factors are looked at as we contemplate how this will all shake out. So, again, Rick, I think, and Marty, thanks for reaching out to these two and on this project. And I think just the more information up front, the better everybody will feel as we move forward.
I just think in Nevada that you have the opportunity to get out. I'm glad to see that the Nevada Journal is covering us today, too, that they have the opportunity to put this discussion before the community on a going forward basis, because I think that it has a tremendous amount of saliency in our future here. And I like to think that that's something that the conversation will start in ways that could be unforeseen. So,
Alan, Jim, what we can commit to today is that in March, the Board of Supervisors will have a specific conversation about 250th and whether it fits in the 5-year calendar, how, if it does, it would be funded. And so we can get some solidity at that point of what would happen. From now to March, it's simply going to reside on Darren's plate to do the necessary research and bring back to the Board of Supervisors in March.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
Come right. Get close enough so that we pick you up for the audio.
Okay.
Thank you,
Jerry. Yeah, I appreciate the information. The only comment I'd make about on that road count, and I can tell you there are a lot of people who do not drive that road because of dust.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, there's no question.
And I don't. I changed cars there a year ago, and it just fills up the whole back end of dust.
Mm-hmm.
And so I go around on 11th Street.
I think
your road count would be way bigger.
You don't have a huge hurdle with me to convince me that 250 it needs to be paid.
Yeah.
It's going to be a question of funding. We got to find a way to be able to pay the roughly $1.5 million that it's going to cost in order to pay that. And I like what Wayne said. You know, there are creative ways to get it done. We've done it here in Nevada with 11th Street, specifically for the bike path. And we just did it with Gilbert, where the Gilbert school system and the city are participating in paving that's occurring out in the county. So there's ways we can work on it. We'll have more conversations as we get closer to March.
Thank you,
guys.
Thank you,
gentlemen.
Next item is consideration of minutes from August 23rd.
Move approval.
Second.
Any notations, additions, or corrections? Clinton?
Aye.
Chief?
Aye.
Sanders? Aye. Minutes passed. Personnel actions as listed, board.
Move to approve.
Second.
Any comments? Chief?
Aye.
Clinton?
Aye.
Sanders? Aye. Consent agenda, board. Please add utility permits 17013 and 17019.
Move approval with no changes. Excuse me.
Oh, through. Yeah, sorry. 17013 through
013.
17019.
70.
Throw me off with the triple digits there after the dash.
Move approval with no changes.
I second that.
Clinton.
Aye.
Cheney.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. Consent agenda passes. Public hearing item, second consideration of Ordinance 244, an ordinance for the purpose of prohibiting the use of electronic smoking devices in public places, providing a penalty, and establishing an effective date. Board, we talked about this a lot last week. I'll ask if there were any additional comments or if anybody has a new comment that they'd like to make on this. And then I'm going to open the public hearing. Margaret, come on up.
Okay.
Yep. Morning.
Morning.
Any new information for the board, Margaret?
No, well, I wasn't here last week, so I apologize. But it seemed like conservation had some issues with whether or not it would impact the parks. Has that been resolved?
Yeah, well, yes. I mean, yes, the way it's been resolved is if this passes, we're simply going to treat these vape devices in the same way we treat cigarettes. Conservation already handles that. Yes, it's been handled.
Okay, thank you.
Yep. Absolutely. Thank you, Margaret.
Thank you.
No new information for the board, so I'll go ahead and open the public hearing and ask if there is anybody who would like to address the second consideration of Ordinance 244. Seeing no one moving the microphone, I'll close the public hearing and turn to the board for action.
I would move approval on second consideration of Ordinance 244 and set the third and final consideration for, was that September
3rd?
3rd.
I would second that.
Third's wrong, 6th.
Okay. Yep. Right.
I gave you the wrong date, Wayne, sorry.
I was wondering about 6th.
We'll be watching football on the 3rd. Yeah. That's why I'm all excited.
Thank you for the correction.
Absolutely.
September 6th.
Did you second, Marty?
Yes, I did.
All right, we've got a motion and a second for second consideration, setting the third and final consideration for September 6th. Further discussion? Clinton.
Aye.
Cheney.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. It passes. Third and final consideration will be September 6th. Thank you. Next, I am still in public hearing items, and this is first consideration of Ordinance 245, amending Ordinance 243 by renaming a portion of Grant Avenue to Hyde Avenue in unincorporated Story County. Gary, I alluded to this just a few minutes ago. We got a road that goes from Bloomington Avenue in Ames all the way north to Gilbert. And on that stretch, it's named Hyde, Grant, 530th, and Gretton. Mm-hmm. Tell me about that road.
How about that?
Hey, again, this is Ordinance 245. The request is to change Grant Avenue to Hyde Avenue, and it also affects subsequent addresses for 5 properties. Area is North Ames, Township 84, Range 24, Sections 21 and 22 in Franklin Township. This is the aerial that shows Franklin Township, which includes the city of Gilbert and the north portion of the city of Ames. If you look at where the blue star, that's the location that we're dealing with. There's a little unincorporated area that's being before you, the ordinance change. The city of Ames is working through a process to change the northern portion of their city limits from Grant to Hyde as well. Background, again, this is a road renaming and addressing change. The idea is to improve consistency, logistics, public safety. As you mentioned, Rick, from Bloomington Road north, through these subdivisions, Bloomington Heights, Bloomington Heights West, and Bloomington Court, it's Hyde Avenue. It's about a half-mile stretch. The same road is named Grant Avenue in the unincorporated portion, and through the incorporated portion of the city of Ames to 190th. North of 190th to 180th, it's Grant, and then it changes from there to 530th, north of 180th, to the city of Gilbert's corporate limits. Again, there's 8 parcels that are affected. 4 of those are single-family dwellings. 5 of them will have address changes. that are being requested. Zoning-wise, most of it's A1 agricultural. There is, however, a large parcel that's agricultural residential on the northwest portion of this area. This is a map that Emily helped with. Helps a great deal. You've got Bloomington Road on the south end. Through the city, through those subdivisions, it's currently Hyde Avenue. And then where it turns into the white, which is the unincorporated area, the light blue represents the city corporate limits. So from the north area, that blue area, through the white area, where it's red dashed, that's the area that you're working on the proposed change to. And then the city is working on the proposed change from Grant to Hyde through the northern portion of their corporate limits. And again, this is about a mile and a half stretch from Bloomington Road to 190th. A little history, 1998 is when Hyde Avenue was constructed and named, and extended north of Bloomington Road to Stonebrook Road. And then in 2002, they platted Bloomington Heights West subdivision, and it extended to the unincorporated area of the county. Similar map. This is just the aerial. So you've got the existing extension of that road, Hyde from Bloomington Road to the corporate limits. What you're working on is shown where the blue arrows are proposed. And then again, the city is working on the change in the incorporated area from Grant to Hyde.
Yeah, so for those who don't read maps, this is the portion of Grant Avenue that is immediately west of 8 Hayden Park.
Correct. Again, city's working on this change for the northern portion. They did address it at their August 9th meeting, approved unanimously. They had their second consideration August 23, which was also approved unanimously. Their third consideration of the ordinance that they're working on is scheduled for September 13. Again, this just shows you the area blown up. The blue lines represent the parcels where the request is being that the area that's being requested for the name change of the street and the addresses. Again, it's 8 parcels, 4 of those are dwellings, and 5 parcels currently have addresses that would need to be changed. We're into the site photos. This is actually Bloomington Road. We're going west. We're going to be turning at this intersection, going through the subdivisions. City of Ames, you can see the street signs have been changed. Getting close to the unincorporated area. I'm told that these signs are all City of Ames signs, so the actual changes will be done by the city. And this is where Grant Avenue starts. This is the residence that's on the first, the south portion of the unincorporated area. This is further north, second residence. There's a communication tower on the west side of the road. Third residence, east side of the road. This is the west side of the road. That's a property that's actually zoned agricultural residential. This is the Hayden's Crossing. This is in the city of Ames. This road actually extends to Grant Avenue. And now we're at the intersection of Grant Avenue and 190th. It's gravel now. As you pan to the west, 190th, and that's panning to the east. We did send a notification to the property owners along the road about the change August 12. We did receive a phone call on the 15th from a property owner who was not in support of the change. They felt that if this was going to be changed, that the city should take action to change other roads that have multiple names. And then also, this person didn't think that there was a problem with communication with the emergency response for this area. Board of Supervisors did take action with Resolution 1719 on the 23rd of August to set the hearing for today. We did publish the notice in the 3 papers August 25th for this ordinance. Information was also made available to emergency response staff, City of Ames, City of Gilbert, Mary Greeley Medical Center, E911 Coordinator, Ames Postmaster, August 12. We also interagency sent this stuff via email to the interagency staff at the county, and we received no responses specific to this change. We also contacted the Sheriff's Department and communicated with them to try to find out if there were specific instances that they could cite where there was delays or confusion. They actually said that there wasn't anything that there was they were aware of, but they did indicate that they do support this change. I think long-term going forward, it's a
great. Right, so there's not been an instance, but the street has also not been named one thing, named another, and then back to the original name. If the City of Ames passes what they're passing, and we don't have any control over that, then that furthest north section of what is currently Grant, before you get to 190, will become Hyde, and so then you'll have Hyde, Grant, Hyde. That's where I'm worried about the confusion.
Right, right. Yeah, because the south portion, half mile, is Hyde now.
Right.
And then there's a half mile that's Grant for the unincorporated area. And then the portion that the city's working on is another half mile.
It's still Grant.
It's Grant now that they're working on the change. Right. They've already passed the two considerations, and they're working on their final. So, and that's one of the items that we have in summary to bring up. Again, so, you know, you're looking at a request to change a road from Grant to Hyde. It would make it consistent throughout for that whole mile and a half stretch. To the north and south, you have 190th and Bloomington Road, which carries the most amount of traffic collectors for this area. You know, that highest traffic volume. And we think it makes sense for those people who are turning onto this road for it to be a consistent naming. And then likely over time, the traffic is going to increase. It's not going to decrease. The other thought is this is in the Ames Urban Fringe Plan. It's in a rural-urban transition area. As interest in this area increases, you're likely going to see requests for annexation, which is going to bring in requests to develop more people, more traffic. And so again, you know, long term, it's going to be for the best, not only for emergency response, but for people who work in the delivery business, for the general public, to have the same road be designated this a similar name. With that, we take you to the recommendation, which is to support this change, Ordinance 245. For this first consideration and to schedule the second consideration September 6th and then tentatively September 13th for the final consideration. I'd be happy to answer your question.
Thank you, Gary. Do we have any estimate of what it would cost? And I'm not talking about the headache to homeowners, you know, who today live on Grant and potentially in 3 weeks could live on Hyde. Do we have any idea what the cost is to a residence that's taken in like this?
Well, one of the things that we would like to do as staff, because this is something that's not they're doing, it's because of the growth and the changes that are taking place, is to waive the E911 address marker requirement, which that's $100 per address. So we'd like to waive that for the five and for potentially future addresses that would be assigned for this location. And as I mentioned, the actual street names, the City of Ames will be changing those out, so there won't be any cost.
So just why would we waive it for future addresses? Because if a future address came in and it was Grant, they'd still have to pay the $100. Why would we waive it for a future? I'm with you on the current address.
Yes, probably for the current.
Okay.
Would make the most sense. Again, zoning-wise, you're A1, so you're probably not going to see a lot of growth in terms of development, although we do have that AR district, which could potentially develop in the county.
Well, and I think you're right that the City of Ames is going to have annex and all of this. I mean, it's going to be City of Ames all the way to 190th eventually, probably much to the chagrin of a few of the landowners or a few of the homeowners out there, and understandably, but that's what's coming, because eventually you're going to have an island right there.
Right.
They're going to
a little peninsula.
Absolutely. Questions for Gary.
Got that development already to the east now from 190th. That's homes going up right there now. So, no, I don't have any questions.
Okay. Yeah, so my only concern with this is it looks to me like on the calendar, the city of Ames has their, they've already passed it twice. They have their third and final consideration on the night of the 13th. Our schedule has us on the morning of the 13th. I don't know if it's a big deal that we go first, but my fear would be we go with our third reading, and let's say it passes, we go with our third reading, and then something happens at the city of Ames and they don't pass it. Then we're right back in the same situation we were in. Talk to me about, is that a concern I should be having or not?
Well, you certainly could extend that to the following week if you wanted to make sure that it passed the through the city of Hayes. I mean, it wasn't unanimous support both readings, so it's likely.
So I'll leave that to you guys depending on what kind of action you want to take. Any questions for Jerry before we open the public hearing?
I have none.
Okay. All right, so then at this point, we'll open the public hearing and ask if there's anybody who would like to address the board on Ordinance 245. Okay, seeing nobody moving to the microphone, we'll close the public hearing. I'll turn to the board for action.
I would move to accept the first reading of Ordinance 245, and that would be amending Ordinance 243, which would be renaming a portion of Grand Avenue to Hyde Avenue, with a second reading on September 6th.
Second. We have a motion and a second. Further discussion. Chief.
Aye.
Clinton.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. Passes second reading. Will be on September 6th. Jerry, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jerry.
Not Nixon, right?
He was in a Balmer in Chicago. It's a long story. I'll tell you later.
All right, we are now to additional items. Discussion and consideration of Human Resources Internship Program. Alyssa Wigdahl. Hi, Alyssa.
Good morning,
Alyssa.
Okay, what you have on your agenda is just a consideration of adding an internship program to our Human Resources Department. We do have this program with other departments or offices within the county, and it's been very successful. There is a job description attached, and then I did opt out the internship program. It would just be one. We're looking at 10 to 15 hours a week, which is your typical in-school workload for an intern. In the Board of Supervisors budget, we do have $6,500 for extra help. I did talk to Lee Ian. I know we had budgeted the amount for a communications intern. If we look at hiring that, it'll be probably the beginning of the year is kind of what she thought. Sometime after November and December and getting that person on board. So if we were to have both of those, I estimate about $2,500 additional funds to do both internship programs for the fiscal year.
But that's a decision that we could make, that the board could make in the spring.
Correct.
If, in fact, we had both positions filled and
amendment time.
So,
yeah.
Board, so that you know, I've been pushing Alyssa on this. I've actually been pushing Alyssa to bring forward a couple intern positions. Alyssa took a hard look at it and decided that starting with one was the right way to go. So I'm really supportive of what she's come forward with. It's a great learning opportunity for some young person, I assume young person. And it is some assistance that we need in our human resources. Both Alyssa and Noel are working so hard, as I know you guys are aware, and getting a lot of tasks done that this board has set in front of them. I feel like we got as fine a human resources operation now as any county anywhere, and that has not always been the case, and so we're really appreciative. So, questions for Alyssa.
Have you already identified a potential candidate, or is this something that you would be advertising for? And is this, do you look at specifically someone locally to the university, or how wide of an area are we likely to attract someone? Because with the hours, I would assume either the community college or Iowa State. Traveling to and from if they're taking classes, since it's not a full-time position. Have you thought basically in terms of how you go about your outreach to secure someone?
Yes, we have. No, we don't have anybody identified. We do have a posting requirement for all positions here at the county, so we have to post. We can put it on the university and the community college's job board. We do put them on Iowa State. We put them on Grandview, DMAC. So we're kind of looking. Typically, you won't see an intern drive much further than 30, 40 miles to and from their place of employment. So yeah, Noel will put that out there if it's approved, and we'll get the word out. Typically, we do draw a lot of our interns from Iowa State. I know the attorney's office does get a lot of interns from Drake, I believe. And having a paid internship helps a little bit when you know, they're not only looking for compensation, they're looking for the experience that they can put on their resume. Or, you know, we have worked with the universities where part of their, if the job is a course requirement, they have to have an internship in so many hours a week, and then that employer signs off on that.
Just having seen what you had gone through in your office in regards to when this summer we were visited the carry issue here in the county buildings, I know what you had to do as far as reaching out to other counties. I mean, a lot of people don't know what you did in behalf of having the discussion brought to the board, and I know that the help would have been appreciated then, because what we did in conjunction with the attorney's office was pretty substantial up here. It made it look kind of quick and clean. Well, there was a lot of work behind the scenes, and appreciate that. So I can only imagine having a little bit of help would go a long way. It's just on a revisiting of county policies, because you cannot be too current, because you don't know. I mean, you have alluded to me several times that we probably haven't necessarily gone back and looked at some to reflect what the change in Iowa code has done. You know, I only think another set of eyes would help that happen.
Well, Noel and Melissa don't have any boring days. I mean, that is absolutely the case. Melissa, anything else for us to know?
No, I
don't think so. Okay, board, if there's no further questions.
So basically, the timetable, if approved, then we're authorizing her to start the process to begin to look.
It would probably be the beginning of October. Okay. You know, by the time you post, we have a 10-day posting requirement, which I would probably recommend, or I would say 2 to 3 weeks to get that information out there. Interviewing, it would be October probably before we could get somebody on board.
Okay. Well, I would move that we authorize the human resource, Alyssa, to move forward and search for an intern that would fill the needs in that office.
Sure. So a motion to approve the human resource intern.
I would second that.
A motion and second. Further discussion. Clinton?
Aye.
Chief?
Aye.
Sanders? Aye. Passes. Alyssa, thanks.
Good job.
Thank you. Next item is consideration of Resolution 1728 for the abatement of delinquent mobile home tax per the owner request. So this is typically a consent agenda item when it's clear cut. The Treasurer's Office did a great job bringing this forward and letting us know that it was there. Once they let me know that this request was there, I immediately went to Shelley and requested that it not be on consent. This is one we need to discuss. This request is coming from the owner of Crestview Mobile Home Park. Board, I know you've been following everything that's been going on in the Board of Health with this. For those that have not been following the Board of Health, there have been issues with water quality at Crestview, and the Board of Health took action that forced the owner of Crestview to reduce the number of available spots, number of available water connections at Crestview, and it's resulted in excess vacant mobile homes being on this property. We now have a request from the owner of those mobile homes to abate back taxes. Renee, go.
Thank you. First, let me start by saying, in case anybody gets a complaint, the storm last night broke the tower on top, so we don't have a fiber connection between here and the Justice Center, so we can't do anything in our office today with regards to motor vehicle.
We don't have a backup microwave connection?
I thought we did.
I don't know. It's not working.
Okay.
That was last I heard before I came up. So.
Okay. So we need to dig into that as soon as this meeting goes.
We can't do anything.
We got that. I thought we recently put that up there.
Well, originally a microwave connection. We put in we spent the money to put in a fiber optic between here and the Justice Center. My understanding was the microwave connection is a backup for that. to keep the sheriff, to keep everybody operating. So we'll check on this as soon as we're done here.
Yep, it's where I'm going next. But so Brant came in last week. Brant being the owner of Crestview, wanting our office to abate the taxes on these listed mobile homes. He did not have the amounts. That's not a big deal. So we came up with the amount. Delinquent tax is $1,140 plus the current tax of $390.
So it's $1,500 that he's requesting abatement on, roughly $1,500.
Roughly a little over $1,500. However, he also brought in, which I think is part of your packet, the contracts of sale that go back to 2004, 5, 6, all the way to 11, I believe. However, in Iowa, I guess there's one of 14, when you sell something that has a title, you convey the title at the time of sale.
Right.
None of these titles were ever conveyed to the owners. He's held on to these titles this whole time, so they are still listed in Crestview, and I don't feel it's fair to abate these taxes based on the fact he never conveyed the title in the first place.
Yeah, so let me see if I understand this. So these were mobile homes that were owned by Crestview.
Yes.
And according to all of our records, they've been owned by Crestview in perpetuity, but now the owner of Crestview is saying, no, really, I sold these at some point, and now the people I sold them to, even though you don't have any records of it, have abandoned them, and so I want the abatement.
Correct.
Seems to me if you sell something, Renee, you ought to let government entity know that you don't own it anymore.
And convey the title.
Okay, so $1,500. And for our purposes, I'm going to suggest, and Jessica, I'm going to look at you when I say this, I'm going to suggest, since we don't have any formal record of these ever being sold, we ought to consider this request as if these mobile homes have been owned by Crestview all the way through, because we don't, I mean, he says they were sold, but we don't show.
Don't have them transferred.
All right. So we got $1,140 in back taxes plus a current $390 in taxes on these mobile homes that I believe have been owned by Crestview all the way through. He's requesting abatement on those. Board, what questions do you have?
Do we know if these were recently occupied structures?
Yes, they are.
So he was deriving income off them?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, I don't have any questions for Renee. The circumstances for this request, while I can appreciate him bringing it to my attention, but the lack of conveying the proper ownership and they're still under his ownership as far as our records are concerned, I think it would be a precedent that I would be uncomfortable with in granting a relief under these circumstances. Now, the question that will come back will be a question that environmental health will need to look at down the road. Is, let's say that for some reason he does not come forth and pay these delinquent taxes, and the county has to go in and request that they be removed. How is that handled? I know, and the reason I'm asking the wrong person, Margaret, and I guess I have to refer back historically to Leanne. Back years ago, we had a mobile home park out here near the drive-in that homes have been abandoned for a period of time. And we actually had to, because of DNR and so forth, we actually had to have them removed. Where did that cost basically come from? Who bears that cost? Is that something that the county might ultimately have to do at some point? I don't know.
Come on, while Leanne's moving. Yeah. So as I understand it, the request here is that these are not mobile homes that Brant expects anybody to live in from this point on. So he's wanting to junk them, but they cannot leave the property until taxes are current.
Correct.
So he's making this request. Wayne, I think you bring up a great point. I mean, I've said all along, ultimately, if things don't happen at Crestview like they're supposed to happen, it's going to fall to the county
to get the area cleaned
one,
up.
For instance, one of these is lot number one. That's where the manager has been living all this time. And that's one that is in the pool that is to be staying in the 12 trailers.
Okay.
So most of these
are still still deriving income from that one.
Yes.
Leanne, talk to us about what happened before and who was responsible for getting it cleaned up.
Several years ago, Hillsdale Mobile Home Park closed, the location that Wayne discussed earlier. That closure, the removal of the mobile homes, was done through a grant program and grant funding that Story County received from the IEDA, which used to be the Iowa Department of Economic Development, using HUD, Housing Urban Development funding. We had a contractor go in once the junking certificates were completed and formalized and removed them. They were abandoned, the junking certificates were formalized, and then this contractor went in, removed the mobile homes, and then the property remained vacant. And it was done through Story County directly paying that contractor to do that.
Okay. Great. Thoughts?
Well, I share Wayne's unease at waiving the taxes on these. I don't think $1,500 is an onerous amount. He's been deriving recent income off these things. I think that he's been more than aware of their status and the fact that he had ample time to do the very minimum that he needed to do to bring these to currency, and he didn't do it. And I understand what the Board of Health has been trying to do to get this situation rectified, but I would tell you I have not heard anything that would make me think that $1,500 is not something that I would think the county has an expectation for him to honor.
And I would agree. So, Mr. Chairman, therefore, I would request that we deny
So let's move it. When I get where we are, let's move it in the affirmative, and then we'll vote accordingly. So we got a resolution in front of us that we got to consider.
Right. And so my notation would be to deny the resolution 1728, which is the request for delinquent mobile tax waiving those taxes.
I would second that.
All right. And so that we're clear as we vote, a yes vote is supporting resolution 1728
right.
to grant it. A no vote denies it.
Right.
Everybody clear?
Mm-hmm.
Any further discussion? Clint?
No.
Chitty?
No.
Sanders? No. Resolution 1728 does not pass.
Which one of you would like to call, Mr. Olin?
I'll call it.
Yeah.
Thank you, Renee.
Thank you for your work on this, Renee.
I'm not sure I kept his phone number. Can you get that for me?
No, I appreciate what the Treasurer's Office has had to do.
On Craigslist.
Rhonda, that's for you, too.
No agency reports, no departmental reports, no other reports. Public forum number two, opportunity for members of the public to comment on items not on today's agenda. Board may not take any action due to the open requirements of the open meeting law, but we may do so in the future. Anybody today? Yeah, come on up, Loris.
Loris Bull from 1705 Buchanan. And it's the last action. I just want to clarify the motion.
Mm-hmm.
Did I hear Wayne go, I move to deny?
And then I clarified how we were actually voting.
Okay. Yep. Just wanted to make sure. Otherwise,
I wanted to make sure that we were voting on the motion that was before us, and it was denied. Thanks. Yep. Thank you.
Thank you.
Liaison assignments. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. I didn't see you moving to the microphone. Good morning. Please start by introducing yourself.
Yeah. My name is Pamela K. Grow, G-R-O-W.
Uh-huh.
I'm from P.O. Box 1171, Rolla, R-O-L-L-A, Missouri. I'm the county clerk in Phelps County, Missouri, if that matters. It probably doesn't. It's interesting to come and see how another county and another state does things. And I know your offices work differently than ours. What would be the procedure if I was concerned about my relative having a bridge near their home that is not marked? It's a gravel road, and it's a bridge with a very steep abrupt drop-off of about 6 to 8 feet into a waterway. It's fairly narrow, and there's no, you know, bridge approach markers. There's no one car, you know, one lane bridge warning. What would be, what's the proper procedure?
I think you tell us about it right here, and we'll refer it to our county engineer and explore it.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
It is a bridge. It is the first bridge east of 610th Avenue on 170th Street.
Okay.
There are a lot of fiber optic or pipeline uprights right at this intersection. I mean, it's busy with something, you know, or some things, but the bridge is just, you know, you can't tell that it's there, and it is one car wide, and it is steep. I mean, it would be, the car would flip over, I think, if it went over the edge. And there's just, it's a hazard. I really believe it's a hazard.
Well, thank you for bringing it up.
I guess it's amazing that you've never heard about this. Okay, thank you.
Aaron darting off today. Thank you very
much. That's all I wanted.
Thanks for visiting.
Come
back again. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Now we're to liaison assignments, Wayne.
No liaison, but I would have a quick comment on committee report.
Okay. Liaison, anything from you, Marty?
We have some follow-up discussions with the AEDC and the NEDC, some things coming before us as a county, and I have some follow-up with emergency management in regards to Kukog and, if not, the Stover issues as that transpires in the county.
Well, it appears that the NEDC, it appears that Nevada and Ames are going to end up touching each other. And so anything that can happen to socially bring those two groups closer together so that they can work together in the future, I think is a benefit to everybody.
It will happen.
Now, Wayne, tell me about your...
Yes, just last evening at the MICA board meeting, I just wanted to report that the Story County Dental Clinic is moving forward, progressing as they had hoped. They have hired a person to be at the front desk that is really working diligently on the scheduling and so forth. This person has just completely changed how they go about scheduling and starting to bring revenue in. And as we know, that we kicked in some dollars, the City of Ames was requested to do so. And at one point, the board was contemplating having to use general fund dollars for the MICA board to get us through. We're not saying that down the road that something may turn just the opposite, but currently right now it's looking very favorable. They think that they're just going to have to monitor this closely, but they certainly wanted to convey their appreciation to the county and everyone through the asset process. As an FYI, I think asset is probably going to experience a request for a little increased funding for this next go-round as it relates directly to the dental clinic. But they are very pleased with what is happening right now. And we ask at the board that this is periodically that we stay updated, that we keep looking at this so that if we notice that things are turning the opposite from where we are now, that we have an opportunity to reach out to all the entities that have supported the dental clinic.
Super. Any other announcements? Okay. Committees or announcements from you?
Nothing.
Nothing from me. I take a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
And we're adjourned. Deb, will you check on that bridge, please?